Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Eric's weird. You know, he's weird because he's a quarterback. He's not weird because he's a football player. It's just that you don't see a lot of quarterbacks like him. And that's the weird part about him. And I finally learned that you can't talk to him like a quarterback. You have to talk to him like a linebacker. And if you talk to him like a linebacker, then he's not so weird.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe. Give us a like on Facebook at Q's Militia Podcast and follow on Twitter at Q's Militia.
All right, what's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. And as always, hit that subscribe button. Frank Howard is back, and our guy Eric Dungy, the deuce on the loose. He puts on another show. We have the post games for Colgate in Boston College. But first, as always, we're going to hear from the good folks over at MyBookie. You know, watching football is fun, but it's more fun and entertaining if you've got something in on the action. Guys, you've been hearing me talk about this for weeks, months possibly, and some of you are still on the sidelines. Whether you're an expert or a rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, then you can create a big parlay. Pick three teams to win. And if you hit all three, you could easily turn $100 into $600, okay? There's so much to bet on at MyBookie. You can bet on college basketball, football, NFL, NBA, NHL, custom props, even esports. You name it. Is esports a sport? I don't know. I don't think so. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with. I recommend these guys because I really trust them. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up this week and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention in DM, not to mention they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as a new odds come out or props are posted. Don't miss out on this one. This is one of the best weeks to bet on sports. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code Q's25 and get that 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code Q's25. You play, you win, you get paid. My bookie. All right. What's up, Joe?
Phew. What's up?
What's up? So
9-3,
woo! Folks. This is a BFD, okay? If you follow the acronym. It's a big deal. Why don't we just jump right into it, right? I mean, do you want to just jump right into it? Let's see. Hold on. I'm sorry. Real quick. I just do have a couple things to mention real quick. Thanks for the emails. The emails have been rolling in. We appreciate it. Some of them are hard to decipher which ones are trolling and which ones are real, but you know, they're rolling in and we appreciate it. They're mostly compliments, so that's awesome. That lets us know, I guess, that we're doing things right. So the reviews, the iTunes reviews, get those in. I've got one today, and we'll go over that again. But let's do this. Syracuse versus Boston College is brought to us today by Shopping Town Mall Barbershop. It opens Tuesday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5:45 p.m., and on Saturdays, 7 a.m. to 2, $15 cuts, 6 full-time barbers, a family-friendly, old-school type atmosphere. I've gotten my cuts there before, and they're great. I know the guys there personally. I've known them for years, actually. So I went to kindergarten with one of the guys in there. So
when I lived in Syracuse, I used to go there when I used to have hair to get cut.
There you go. Yeah, when Joe had hair, he went there. TVs for your viewing pleasure while you get tightened up. The only real game in town, Shoppingtown Mall Barbershop. And if you mention Sean and Joe from the Cuse Militia podcast, you don't even got to pick a number. You just go sit down. I'm kidding. Can't do that. But who knows? Maybe at some point they will. Who knows? So thank you, Shoppingtown Barbershop. Appreciate that. All right. Here we go. Syracuse ends the regular season 9-3, 6-2 in the ACC. The expectations this year were shattered. Out of our three losses this year, two of them were in situations where one play in each game and we could be sitting at 11-1. And the cherry on the top, folks, is that Dungy is healthy and this kid is going to get to finish his senior year the way he and all of us want him to. In a freaking bowl game, he's going to be there to play it. 21 for 34 for 362 yards, three TDs, and one interception. Sean Riley pulling in five of those passes for 115 yards and a TD. 34 yards on the ground for Dungy, and another three TDs. One of those, an 18-yard run where Dungy just straight freight trained defensive back Will Harris and left that boy seeing stars. Strickland ripped 32-yard run and finished with a career high, 129 yards. Ryan Guthrie, again, leading the defense with 12 tackles. Guthrie and the rest of the defense held BC to 105 yards on the ground. BC's big run threat, A.J. Dillon, couldn't finish the game, but I don't think it would have mattered even if he did because the Orange were having none of it, let's be honest. And neither were freshmen Andre Sisco and Trill Williams, each snagging an interception in the game. And, boy, I will tell you, from pretty much start to finish, other than a couple small hiccups that really are nitpicking, That was a game dominated by Syracuse. Yeah. Absolutely. Other than Boston College getting on the board first, I guess, really.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That was something that I talked to you about, we talked about personally. It was just really nice to see because earlier in the season you saw us go and lose a heartbreaker down at Clemson, and we came back and, like what Baber said, allowed Clemson to beat us twice and lost a close one the next week on the road against Pittsburgh. And again, it was a similar situation later in the season and went to a neutral field, lost to Notre Dame pretty bad, and then we ended up going to go to Boston College at Boston College. And Boston College was ranked this year, and they might be a little beaten up, but they're a good team and usually pretty physical. And we went down there and out-physicaled them, went on the road. We made sure that the Notre Dame wasn't going to beat us twice, and we learned from an earlier mistake in the season and just those little things like that, just something like that, and just how we've came back and we won the turnover battle. Our special teams, Hoffrichter went down and forced a fumble and got a fumble recovery. You know, like you said, that the interceptions by the two true freshmen were real good. And we ran the ball effectively, threw the ball effectively. And overall, just it's something that we haven't bounced back like that in the past. And then again, this is just one of those things that where you – it's how you can – kind of see what like the direction in which the program is going is these little things and how we're not going to buckle under the pressure and how they come back from things like this. And I can, it's a huge difference from the last two years that Dino's been here. So.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Hoffrichter. That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That dude causes a fumble, then recovers it. And
awesome.
What else more could you ask from a kicker?
Yeah.
I mean, nothing. He did it all in that one play. Kicked the ball, went back down, and then got it back. Unbelievable. It's phenomenal. I thought the ability to just continuously draw these guys off sides on fourth down was just like child's play to Dungy.
Oh, God.
And that 96, oh, my gosh. I mean, hello, dude.
Hi. You're right there. The ball's right there.
Just hello. The ball. You're right there. Yeah, you can watch the ball move. Dude, if that ball don't move, you don't move. Simple as that. Yeah. So
you could tell, like I said, you could tell that
we were matched. And he took a cheap shot, too.
Yeah. Well, yep. And you could tell that we were matching them physically and that we just kept scoring. And our defense in the beginning, Boston College didn't – they were driving a little bit, you know. We did, but we had the bend and don't break and – you know, we got the turnovers and held them to a field goals and stuff like that. And I think they missed one, right? And so we just did everything like that we've been doing in the games that we've won this season. But to see, I thought that defense was a lot better than, I mean, maybe we, like I said, obviously Dungy brought his A game, and it's hard to believe, you know, judging by looking at the Notre Dame game and how he was on his back and how he looked walking off. It's amazing to me that he played, let alone played like that.
I know.
It's just crazy. It's just crazy to me. I mean,
I was sitting here just,
it must be a lower back type muscle thing, and it just, they worked it out throughout the week or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we were sitting here and we were speculating. I mean, all I wanted really was, I didn't care what happened to be in the BC game. I just wanted Eric to play in the bowl. He comes out.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah. He comes out, starts the game, freaking dominates, just blowing kisses to the fans. Folks, that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, senior day. Bye-bye.
Senior day. Pulling kisses to the fans, waving them off. You know, there's some speculation who he's waving to, but it looked pretty sarcastic to me. They said he could have been waving to SU fans.
I thought it was awesome because we were talking about it in the last, you know, the pregame podcast about you know, we speculation on who was going to be playing and if Dungy in it. You know, they were still talking about how he was game time decision and he wasn't ruled out yet. And I think that we were all kind of just like you said. I think we both wanted Dungy to be healthy enough to play the bowl game, and one of those things where don't force it if it's going to risk further injury. And just, you know, we kind of didn't know what to expect. And then come game day, you see that he's playing, and then just, I mean, you're like, wow. But then to see what happens, it's like, you couldn't have expected that.
I know.
It's almost like just like the whole, it's kind of like how our whole season went. Like that whole game, pretty much. Everything that went right, and I mean, those are the things that we've done well. You know, bend but don't break, turnovers, special teams, big plays, good third down efficiency, you know, stopping them from getting first downs, and then just somebody just being unexpected, just the way that this, we went 9-3 in the last game. No one expects Dungy to play. He comes in and he plays like that. I mean, just completely unexpected. It's just pretty much the combination of our whole regular season and season so far.
Yeah. And there was a poll earlier in the year that I put out that it was to predict the remaining, it wasn't at the beginning of the year, but we had already started, but it was to predict, you know, the final schedule regular, or the final record of regular season. And I didn't put 9-3 on there.
No. So kudos to, and I think that was like when we were 4-0 or 4-1. It was one of the two.
Yeah, I think it was either that or right after we lost to Clemson.
Right.
But you know, kudos to those who actually commented or tweeted back at me that how come 9-3 is not an option? So touche to you guys. It should have been up there, obviously, because it happened. So normally,
well, in hindsight.
Yeah, in hindsight, sure. But normally we would have started this show, a post-game show, with the basketball. But we wanted to put the football up front because, you know, normally at this time of year, I'm so used to being like fully involved in absolved with basketball right now from the past 3 years of football that,
right,
you know, I'm not there yet. No. Most Syracuse fans, a lot, you know, except for like people like Joe, Joe's really hardcore on the football, I guess. You know, so when it's over, but other than that, he's football mode. Me and a lot of other Syracuse fans, you know, when you got kind of a dumpy season, you're looking forward to basketball and having that be it. And right now, I'm not even in. It's crazy because I'm not even in like basketball mode right now. I'm in freaking football mode still because it's so exciting and so much fun. And these seniors are awesome. Guthrie's got 24 tackles in the last two games. I mean, he's a freaking animal.
Yeah.
He's on fire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, earlier in the season, and you know, Clemson and some of these after Pittsburgh, you know, we were questioning the linebackers and whether or not they were going to be able to step up and do what they had to do to kind of get better with the run. And I guess they proved us wrong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keelan Whitner and Guthrie have both stepped up.
Yeah. How about, real quick, we might as well mention it. I think it's worth mentioning how bad the refs were. You study and review this helmet-to-helmet hit and come out with no targeting, Joe. I mean, what did you think? I mean, clearly, he led with his helmet. He almost launched. So
yeah,
what did you think about that? What did you make of that? We never talked about that.
I don't know. I think when you know that somebody's not looking like that, I don't know. It's just at some point, it's, I think, the maliciousness of it. You know, if they're worried about the player's safety and stuff like that,
It wasn't a block, though. It was a freaking – he launched right into it.
Well, that's what I mean. The whole thing is that you don't launch in like that unless you know that someone isn't expecting it.
Unless
you know what I mean? When you see
yeah.
somebody and you guys are both eyeing each other up, you don't go – I mean, you go at each other hard, but you don't launch like that. And he knew that he was catching him off guard. And, I mean, just the fact of just, you know – When you know someone's not looking, you don't need to hit him that hard for it to be effective. You know, you could still plant him and have a perfectly legal hit. And that was, I mean, he took that hit to take him out of the game. And
oh,
I think
absolutely.
That's kind of what you have to look at, you know.
It was dirty. It was really dirty. Yeah. And he looked like he was laid out.
He was out.
Yeah, he was out. Then the other one. Dungy's forward progress stops, and they still drag him back 15 yards. It takes about 5 seconds, and there's no whistle. I mean, what are you doing?
I don't know.
Why aren't you stopping that play?
I mean, I can only – it's even speculation that you're even going to say this, but just the fact that it is Eric Dungy, and you have seen him do crazy stuff, so
– maybe they were assuming he'd break out of there and take off?
Right. I don't know.
To give the refs a little bit of credit?
Like I said, it's tough when you watch NFL and how much they preach NFL and how many hits you see on college on Saturdays that would be called on Sundays, no matter what, you know, it's somewhat
yeah.
difficult, you know, it's crazy because it's obviously you're not on the same page. They're definitely not on the same page. So the hits that are allowed in college football are crazy. And then you watch on Sunday.
Yeah,
and, you know.
Well,
so
I agree with some of the. I think that the officiating, the looser officiating, in the NCAA, makes for better gameplay than the NFL. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think the NFL is too. They're too. I don't even know what some of this. I don't even know what the rules are anymore. Like what defines what? It's changed so much
right.
and everything. And I understand protecting players, but. I mean,
well, they only protect in college football. They only really protect the real, real good ones, you know.
Right.
And
yeah.
and the NFL, you know, in the NFL,
it's the quarterbacks, really.
Well, it's pretty much every. I mean, it's
yeah, it's the runner.
NFL
it's anybody.
Teams are paying. There's so much money involved. That, I mean, you're protecting everything.
Everything.
You know, you're protecting a
yeah,
business.
That's a good point. Yeah, sure. Syracuse's record. All time against Boston College, they lead the series 32-20. So back in the old Big East days, Big East rival. Dungy's 3 rushing and 3 passing TDs set a Syracuse single season record for the most touchdowns responsible for. So he totaled so far this season 32. Mm. He passed McNabb's 20-year-old record of 30. So amazing. Another week down. Another week Dungy played and another record broken. It's kind of been like almost every game this season. Dungy is also the 7th player in ACC to reach a 90 career TD responsible for, joining Taj Boyd, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, Phillip Rivers, Marquise Williams, and Russell Wilson. So some big names on
yeah.
that list for sure. Anything else, Joe? Anything else to wrap up the Boston College game?
Just loved it.
Yeah, it was great. It was fun to watch. I was nervous when they scored first, and I was like, man, it's going to be a tight game. It's going to be what we
yeah,
expected.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I definitely thought it was going to be tighter than that to, yeah. for us to put up the points like that. It's just – I'm just really excited for them to just get healthy and get ready for this bowl game. Hopefully we get a good one. Hoping the camping world – but
yeah, hopefully it's a camping world because
it should be. As long as Pittsburgh doesn't beat Clemson, then it should be
right, which is probably not going
to
happen.
Because if Pittsburgh beats Clemson, I'm pretty sure they get to go to a New Year's Bowl because they're the ACC championship and or champion, and then Clemson would still get in. So,
what about the one in Charlotte? Is that not an option still?
I don't know. I guess that could be an option as well.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of Camping World stuff, but
yeah.
All right.
Either way, it's going to be exciting. It's exciting. I just like the way that the program's going, and hopefully we can finish it off with a nice bowl victory, get 10 wins.
Absolutely.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House, the best damn college sports fans in the nation.
All right, it's time for fan feedback. You all know the drill. at Cuse Militia on Facebook and Twitter. And what you do there is you look for us to prompt you to leave your comments after the game, and we'll choose the 10 best from Facebook and Twitter, and you make it on the show, then you know, you get famous like that. Like our buddy Giovanni. Giovanni joins us at GeoHeater on Twitter. He joins us. He's a CNS student. You are, Giovanni, you are the voice of the North Stars, correct?
I am, yes. I do the football play-by-play, and hopefully, depending on scheduling with my musical stuff like that, I'll be doing the basketball as well.
Okay, so you weren't in the band, were you? In the parade?
No. I also act, so I play lacrosse and I act, so I got a really busy schedule, but sports broadcasting is definitely a career path I want to go into. So.
And you're looking nice. You're looking to go to the Newhouse School, right?
Oh, absolutely. That's my dream. That's the goal. So I'm doing everything I can to work towards that with classes in school, as well as doing stuff like this. I have my own show and stuff that we can get into later.
Yeah,
but
we'll plug the show. We'll plug the show. Now if you go and you become like a Mike Tirico or something, you're not going to forget about us, right? You're going to remember where you got your start, right?
Of course. Okay. Love this show, man. All right. Love this show.
Okay, yeah. Giovanni is a listener first. That's how we met him. So, and we met him through fan feedback, leaving his comments. So we want to do this once in a while, bring someone on and have them give their thoughts on the fan feedback. But first, we're going to give away another Q's crate, okay? So what you want to do is you want to go to iTunes. You want to give us a 5-star rating, give us a written review. And the reviews, they really help us out on iTunes. And we are currently like the most reviewed 5-star Syracuse sports podcast out there right now. So it's competitive, folks. So
It's all your family.
Yeah, well, I must have a big family, man. we would really appreciate you going to iTunes and doing this. And if we read your comment on the show, then we send you some swag. So here is from Matt Hodgson, a longtime fan. He gives 5 stars. In a day and age where there's a podcast for literally everything, it's refreshing to hear a podcast that's actually both relevant and insightful. Sean and Joe artfully toe the line between analyst and homer. Joe's a little bit more homer, but as an alum, there's no better barometer for the current state of Orange football and basketball than this pod. There's a podcast for everything, but this is the podcast, caps, all caps, the podcast for Syracuse Orange. Matt, that means a ton. Anytime an alum gives us our props like that, that means a ton to us. So, Matt, email me at cusemilitia@gmail.com. Give me your address, and I will get your stuff out ASAP. All right.
I like that. And just to throw it out there, I got a Cuse crate. They're pretty nice, guys. They're pretty sweet.
That's right. Comes with a lot of stuff, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's loaded,
I don't
man.
Skimp
it's
out, do I?
One of the first ones, I believe. Huh?
I don't skimp out, do I, Gio?
No, not at all. I think my favorite one is the Duke tears, man. I've been spreading those all around. People love that. It says puke instead of Duke in the
That's right. I got creative with that.
A lot of people like them.
Yeah. All right. Well, here we go. On the bottom feeder, Don K, we'll call him. That's right. SU lost to UConn in basketball. Notice how Dungy's all better after he must have taken his testosterone today to make his balls drop. Too bad. Two with one O, by the way. Too bad he can't stay in the pocket. Worth crap. Wow.
Wow.
Donald. Yeah, I know.
I don't know how I feel about that. That's rough, man. I mean, come on now. Eric Dungy, his main game is going to be on his legs. I mean, he's still consistently stayed in the pocket a little bit. He had 362 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. Come on now.
Yeah,
I
mean,
right? Eric Dungy's Eric Dungy on his legs. He can throw the ball when he wants to, and I get that it's wobbly and whatnot. I mean, the O-line didn't help him too much when you think about it, but – did you see him drill that safety over? I mean, he piled his head in the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the excitement, yeah. Eric Dungy. I don't really like that comment.
I believe he left the field, didn't he?
No, he's not a pocket passer, and that guy Don's a known troll, I believe. So.
Yeah.
Here he is, the biggest douche of the universe. In all the galaxies, there's no bigger douche than
you. Oh, man, come on.
There you go.
He likes UConn, and UConn basketball beat us, so he does have.
Oh,
who cares?
UConn football didn't stand a chance.
Oh, God, yeah. He doesn't claim them. He claims all the SEC football schools.
It's kind of funny. That guy, that David Pindell, the quarterback for UConn, over the summer, before we even like were looking to play them, he follow requested me on Instagram, and I was like, "Huh, sure, why not?"
There you go.
Ooh.
So he follows me, and it's kind of funny because he's terrible. So
and you throw out all the Q's propaganda too, don't you?
Yeah, right.
All right, Jake says maybe it's happened before, but I can't remember a time when a punter had recovered his own punt from a fumble he caused. Hoffrichter's an animal. Love it. Go Q's.
Yeah, Hoffrichter always been a huge core of the special teams. I actually remember when he was coming in, I watched his national signing day a few years back, and he's just been huge. Last year, he put a ton, kept us in games, putting balls within the 10-5-yard line. So Hoffrichter's been huge, and it was great to see him make that play as he grows as a player.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah. Joe?
Did you see Dino say, he said he told him not to do that again, though?
Oh, did he really?
Yeah, in his press conference, just because a kicker like that, if he gets hurt, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Was that a punt or a kickoff?
It was a kickoff, wasn't it? Kickoff.
It was a kickoff.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a kickoff. Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, the way he tackled, he went in like with his helmet. So.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
He tackled like he did that like he knew what he was doing. So.
Yeah.
He,
I like that though.
Apparently, he's a football player, man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess
with
him.
That's what Babers said. He said he's got two kickers that are football players, not just your average, you know.
Yeah,
kicker,
and he's got a quarterback that he's got to talk to like a linebacker. So
I know.
There's all sorts of stuff going on.
That's why we're 9-3.
That's right. Joe says huge W, the way they came back after the S show. That was the Notre Dame game is great. Only thing that would have made it better was if Ted and I got to watch it with the internet sensation and podcast superstar Joe Georgievich.
This is getting played out, man.
How do you feel about that, Joe? Yeah. Do you wish that you were watching it with them?
After the first week, ever since then, it's less and less. So.
Wow.
What do you think? What do you think, Gio? Do you think, we've talked about we let Clemson beat us twice. We didn't let Notre Dame beat us twice.
No, right? We didn't. And I think there's no way you could convince me if Eric Dungy plays that game that it would have been the same outcome. I think the receivers didn't. I know. I see the face you're making at me. I also think that the receivers didn't help Tommy a ton. I mean, he had two like touchdown balls thrown, you know, right in the breadbasket that they couldn't corral. And we could have been more in that game. I'm not saying we're going to win. I think if you play that game 10 times, Syracuse is going to win 2-3 of the 10 times. So it is what it is, but it was great to see him respond. It was a great response. So,
yes, it was.
I agree.
I'm on his side with that. As far as it would have been a different outcome, but I still think we would have lost the game. It would have just been closer. It would have been
fair enough.
And once he got go ahead, Gio.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say once he settled down, but it looked to me that to start that game, the minutes we saw Dungy play, it was a bit frazzled.
I could totally agree with that, which is surprising because usually he's like really executes on the big stage.
Yeah.
I don't really know what was going on, but I actually didn't get to watch the game. I went back and watched like the condensed game, but like I didn't get to watch it live. I had my play rescheduled and everything, so I had to go back days later. So I heard my dad talking about it. That's why I didn't want to be on last week. I didn't have much to say.
Yeah, you were going to be on last week. Peter says, great season. Domination of BC is an exclamation point to the end of the year. To do it to BC, what they wanted to do to BC, but they wanted to do to Cuse was extremely gratifying. Cuse was the more physical team. Yeah, BC known to be, you know, a pretty physical team, like Joe mentioned earlier.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing that kept them in that Clemson game for a little bit. I watched that game, and they were really physical with Clemson. They have some really good defensive linemen, some good linebackers. I don't really know any names for Boston College. But we just outplayed them all across the board. I think we just outplayed them. I think the score could have been even higher, given or take a few situations. The defense played really good. They forced four turnovers. Dungy clearly played his heart out. We got the run game going, the pass game going. We just outplayed them physically, mentally, everything.
Yeah, so. they weren't expecting what they got, that's for sure. Syracuse Sports in the South. Right, Joe?
No. What?
They weren't expecting what they got. That's for damn sure.
Dude, it's been a revenge tour for the past 2 years. I mean, literally, like Louisville, Wake Forest.
Yeah, we got crushed in the dome by BC last year.
Yeah,
And Wake Forest, too.
Same deal, yeah.
Yeah. Syracuse sports in the South, amazing season. Let me try that again. It says Amazon season, but it's amazing season. And to think we were projected to finish last in our division, Dungy will be remembered for a long time. He had more heart than Joe P has for Joe G. and that's hard to beat. Can't wait to find out where we are headed. Talking about a bowl game. Go ahead, Gio.
Yeah. I love that comment. You know, you can't really say anything else. Obviously, we all love Eric Dungy. I feel terrible every time I think about how we kind of naysayed him earlier in the year. I was totally on the Tommy DeVito train following that UNC game.
We all were. We were too, dude. He made us all feel stupid, didn't he?
Yeah, he really did. but I think Eric Dungy came out in this game like a seriously ticked off person. Like, he came into this game, he was probably mad that he couldn't finish out the last game with the opportunity to stage, and he just came out and he wanted to finish strong, he wanted to give the fans something, he was cocky as all can be, which he always does, and I love it, blowing his kisses to the Boston College fans and throwing the football in the face of the player there. And talking about bowl game, where we're headed, I saw something, we might be playing something like a Texas or even a West Virginia, which West Virginia, a rivalry game, that would be insane against a really good offense with Will Grier. Yeah. So just exciting stuff to close out. I'm almost sad it's coming to an end, though. It's nuts.
I know it is a little sad, especially with Dungy going, and it's like, it's a dagger to the heart.
This has never happened for me. Like, I've always...
I know.
Like,
Gee, how old are you, bro?
I'm only 15. So,
holy cow, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is never, like, I always love Syracuse football, and all my friends and, like, everybody, they're like, basketball. There's people out there that are just basketball fans, even though they live in Syracuse, and I'm like, come on, I always love football season. I've always gone to the games. But to see it all finally pay off, this is amazing.
I know, it's awesome.
I was your age, Donovan McNabb's senior year.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
oh
nice. That's, but nice. Since then, after I was... graduated high school, it's been pretty bad. So
the worst mistake.
For my adult life, it hasn't been very good either, bud. So.
That's rough. That's rough. Yeah, you guys have it way worse than me. Yeah, because you guys saw it good, too. Yeah. I've gone back and watched so many games on YouTube. I'm like, why can't we have this back, you know?
It felt that way at the Louisville game. It was like that type of feel, just having a team come in on senior day and just blowing them out.
Yes, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
The 2002 to 2006 was awful.
Greg Robinson and Daryl Gross was awful.
And I had to live through that. That was bad.
I'm so sorry. I lived through it too, technically, but I like was too young to remember.
You're a pre-9/11 baby then.
I am a pre-9/11. No, a post-9/11.
A post, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. Yeah. Post-9/11 baby. That's
Yes. That makes me feel old. I don't have a lot of life experiences yet.
Giovanni, dude, you are there's probably no other 15-year-old I would pull on this show.
Really? Thank you.
Really.
It means a lot. Yeah.
Joe,
a lot.
Right?
No, absolutely.
Thank you.
No problem. Robert, great to see the pieces Baber has put around Dungy for his final year. It's good to see him smiling. Yeah, I mean, just wait. I don't think we've seen – we're seeing a glimmer of what, you know, Babers is going to do. What do you think, Giovanni?
Yeah, I agree 110%. I mean, this is the last year – you have any kind. I mean, this is kind of kudos to Scott Schaefer. I want to throw this out there. He had the talent. He just didn't know what to do with it. He brought in Steve Ishmael. He brought in Irv Phillips. He brought in Eric Dungy. He brought in Zaire Franklin. True. He brought in Paris Bennett. And so kudos to that.
They weren't buying what he was selling.
Yeah. And they just weren't buying it. And Dino Babers came in, and he put the pieces together. And the recruits he's bringing in is what we have now. You know, Nykeem Johnson, Taj Harris, you know, Jarvion Howard, Trill Williams, Andre Sisco. I mean, the list can go on and on. And next year, we're going to see our first full Babers year, which is really exciting. And that's going to be interesting because then, you know, Dungy's gone, and that's your first full set of Dino Babers recruits. And we just got some three huge recruits for next year, too, this past week. So I'm really excited about that. I agree with that comment a lot.
Mike says, our buddy Mike, he says, classic Dungy. I'm so glad he got to play in his last regular season game and didn't look hurt at all. He did not.
No.
On to a bowl game, best Cuse team since 01.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think he looked hurt. He ran somebody over, so he was yeah. running all over.
He was hurting people. So. Sure.
Yeah. I know. The only thing that he was hurt was when he got that turf burn on his arm.
He did.
Yeah, which he refused to get bandaged up.
Yeah,
by the way,
I did see that. Yeah.
Those things do hurt, but whatever.
Those do. I play lacrosse. They do hurt.
Giovanni taking the fastballs. You're a goalie, right?
I am a goalie. I love it, man. Yeah. I love it. Quarterback of the team right there in lacrosse.
There you go. Yeah. Dave says, our boy Dave, great game over the Eagles. I think they, as well as everyone else, were shocked that Dungy got to start. He looked awesome. Defense played good and held Dylan to a minimum. Camping World Bowl, here we come.
Yeah, I did not think Dungy was going to start at all. I mean, I watch every video. I listen to all Baber's stuff. I read almost every article there is. I'm like a super geek about this stuff. And I 100% did not think we were going to get to see Eric Dungy, so I'm obviously stoked about that. A bunch of predictions say Camping World Bowl. I mean, it's supposed to be, from what I read, it's supposed to be the second place ACC team that doesn't get to go to the New Year's Six set. So that should be us. The only thing is they're saying NC State, maybe, even though they have a lesser record and they're not second, is because they have a closer fan base. But I think we could get some Syracuse fans down to Orlando.
They never even made up one of their games, right? Wasn't that NC State?
No.
Yeah, I thought they did.
Did they? Okay. I know Virginia Tech has to play one next weekend against Marshall, and they have a chance to go like 6-6, which is ridiculous because I really want to see that stupid streak end.
One of them was supposed to play West Virginia. Wasn't that NC State?
NC State was supposed to play West Virginia,
but they never
because
did.
Of the hurricane, they didn't. Yeah.
Right. And that would have been a good game, I think.
Yeah.
So they didn't even play their full schedule.
NC State's record.
It would have because that West
Virginia. Either way, we should get that. What they're saying is if Texas beats Oklahoma, then both Texas and Oklahoma will be in the New Year's Six, and then they think we'll play West Virginia. But if Oklahoma beats Texas, then they think that we're going to play Texas. But again, it's all speculation.
I'd love to see a West Virginia matchup. That'd be awesome. Almost more so than Texas. I mean, either one's going to be a great game, but the rivalry, bring back the Schwarzwalder Trophy. You know.
Captain Patrick. Oh, I lost him. Here we go. He says, I wish we scored 50-plus on old meth head in B.C. or meathead.
What
Sorry.
The?
Sorry, guys. My bad.
Can't even read, man.
Hold on.
Yeah,
dude,
really
these
can.
Are not always easy to read. Please, go through them and read some of them.
I do. Dude. I read them every week. I try and keep the punctuation.
I was going to say, man, are you going to pick a top 10 where a guy brought up my meth head?
Oh, man. Well, it's Captain Patrick. Captain Patrick, he's got a Q's crate. We know him. I wish we scored 50-plus on old meathead in BC, but I'll take a 3-touchdown win. Dungy had a great touchdown run. Is he our best running back? Our best running back. I hope we don't go to the Pinstripe Bowl again. Then again, I'm happy with any bowl game. And by the way, I screwed that up. He used perfect punctuation. Go ahead, Gio.
All right. Sean, we knew you screwed it up. It's okay. You don't got to let us know.
All right.
I agree 100% to some extent. I mean, best running back. He's our best runner. I don't know. He's not at the running back position. I think he can. They're good at different things. Mo Neal's a lot shiftier, you know. Jarvion Howard, powerful. Dungy plays with more heart than anyone on our team. I'll say that.
Absolutely.
He plays with more heart.
Yeah.
I think he. What did he say? He said something about the Pinstripe Bowl.
He said, "I hope we don't go to the Pinstripe Bowl, but then again, I'm happy with any bowl."
Yeah. I feel like at this point, the Pinstripe Bowl's a disappointment.
It
because of where we are,
yeah,
and we've been there before, and if we go there, we're going to play someone like Northwestern or something like that, like Boo. We want to play somebody that's been in the conversation like us, like a West Virginia, like a Texas. So, the Pinstripe Bowl is a disappointment. No one wants to go in the cold. I mean, we just played in Yankee Stadium a week ago. Why would, you know, it just doesn't make much sense to me. So I agree with them, but I'm just happy to be here. Yeah, I
think they're better than that. But anyway,
okay.
Last one, and then Giovanni, I'm going to give you the floor to say anything else to wrap this up. Good All game. Right. I'm glad Eric got to finish out the regular season. Now we wait and see what bowl game. Very proud of this team this year. Absolutely.
Beautiful comment. That was my wrap up. He said it perfectly. Great to see Eric come out again. You know, it was unexpected. He clearly balled out. I'm excited to see what they're going to do for the bowl game. It's huge. They get 15 extra practices. That's huge. That's when you build a program. That's when you put Tommy DeVito in practices. That's when everything starts to piece together. So I'm really excited for this next scene of events. They're going to announce the bowls next Sunday night, and we'll see what happens.
All right. All right. So we won't bore you with too much Colgate stuff, but the Colgate post game is brought to us by JP Mulligan's. Happy hour every Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Trivia Tuesdays, every NFL game every Sunday. And, of course, they play every Syracuse game there. Go there, hang with Cuse fans, stool up, grab a frosty beverage, and maybe some grub. And if Nick's behind the bar, you can get him to grab you some Cuse Militia swag. Just tell him that's really what you're there for. So that and the wings. Well, we were all wondering.
Wings are good. Wings are good.
We were all wondering if the presence of Frank Howard was going to make a difference. Now, some might say, you know, well, it was only Colgate, and that's true. But I think the proof was in the performance of Tyus Battle when Frank was running the offense. Battle was able to finally do his thing. 8-for-10 from the floor, 3-for-3 from distance, hitting 5-of-9 free throws and total 24 points. That's a season high for him so far. Now, I only expect that to improve after Howard gets back into the basketball routine with practice, having increased minutes after being sidelined for 8 weeks. It's going to take a little bit to bounce back from that. Brissett, he missed the only three he put up. Thank God he only put up one. But he was mostly back into his natural game flow, doing what he does best. He followed up Tyus with 17 points. But the man that continues to impress me, and I'm sure both of you will agree, is Elijah Hughes. He matched Brissett's 17. He shot 63% and 60 from behind the arc. Sidibe with a double-double, 10 rebounds, 11 points. Unfortunately, he had to come in off the bench for an injured Chukwu. But the guy, in my opinion, that needs to step up is Mark Dolezal. This is not what we saw out of him last March, and we're seeing him kind of revert to what he was at this time of the season last year. I want him to see him take more shots and get some more confidence. And because when he did that, he was really helping out come March last year.
Joe? Yeah.
No, you go ahead, Gio.
Oh, me?
Yeah, go
or
ahead.
Joe, which one?
No, go ahead, Gio.
All right. Touching off of Merrick Dolezal, he was one of my favorite players last year. There's like an inside joke going on in my family with him. It won't make sense to you guys, but I love that guy. And I'm disappointed, man. I mean, he hasn't even been that scrappy like he was last year. I mean, I feel like it'll all come into fruition, but I'm bummed about him and Boeheim too. Boeheim's been disappointing as well. What do you think, Joe?
Been really bad. He's been really bad.
He's been
who, Buddy?
Yeah.
He's rough, man.
Buddy Boeheim?
Buddy Boeheim?
Buddy Boeheim.
I think a lot of it, you can ask Sean. I've always thought from the beginning that Buddy Boeheim was going to be a redshirt candidate from the beginning. Yeah, I think he's allowed him to go out there and try to see what he can do. But I think it's pretty,
expected?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's expected, and I think it's pretty obvious that he's really not ready for it. Mark Dolezal, I think, is one of those situations where, again, we talked about
confidence.
It. It's just you add new people, and with Frank Howard not there, I think they're trying to find the roles. And Dolezal, he started the whole year last year almost. And
yeah.
Now Elijah Hughes comes, and now he's not starting. So now he's coming off the bench. So maybe there's just a little bit of the confidence expectations issues as far as what Boeheim really expects from him because – again, Elijah Hughes, like you said, very impressive. He shoots with good efficiency, and he jumps those passing lanes really, really well. So I think Boeheim, the coach, has got to figure out basically where Merrick's going to fit in this year because he doesn't need him to start. We have too much talent for him to start, sadly. And I like him as a player too, but he is still a sophomore. He's still trying to figure some stuff out. He's got to figure out his role. I think the coach has got to help him figure out that role. Because, again, Merrick, once he got the confidence last year, you saw what he could do.
Yeah.
I agree with that. And the thing, too, is it's almost like I was bummed when Matt Moyer left. And then it's like, well, now you're almost glad he's gone because he would have absolutely no spot here. And, you know, I think I'm hoping with Frank back, everything's going to blend more. But Merrick's not going to see the same spot as he did last year, as you said. So what do you think, Sean?
Well, I think is the deal is this he's I think he's as scrappy as he was last year. He does have some steals, but he's not diving on the floor yet. But I think it's a confidence thing.
That's
and
I meant.
I think it's a confidence thing with Mark. I don't think because he's doing that thing where he looks at the basket and he has an open shot, but he passes the ball away. And that's what he was doing last year, and he wasn't taking the shot. And he made his first like five shots of the season. And I know he missed a couple, but he's one of those guys that gets really standoffish when he doesn't hit his buckets. But like Joe said, I guess maybe it hurts a little tiny bit that he's not starting, and he did get a lot of experience going into March last year. But he'll come into his own. I think he will.
Yeah,
it's just a disappointment, That's all.
Yeah, I agree. And we want to see the Slovakian hammer, of course.
Yeah. But he's been playing center, too. He's been playing a lot of center, which...
Yeah.
That's
can do in small ball. He can do.
Small, yeah. Right. But not particularly his strong suit, I wouldn't say.
I think part of what could have hurt him, too, is I know that he went back home for the entire summer. And they said he lost or put on 1 pound. I mean, you saw Chukwu. I don't know about you, but it looked like an Eric Dungy turnaround.
He gained some muscle,
right? And I was like, holy crap. Yeah.
We talked about that.
Dolezal, I don't know what he did when he went home, but it's clear that I think some of the guys on the team really busted their butts. Not saying he didn't, but that could have hurt him. You never know. I mean, he could have came onto campus a little bit later than the rest of them, didn't have the same mesh, didn't meet the new guys beforehand the rest of the team might have. So maybe there's a mesh thing going on as well as the confidence.
Yeah. But like I said, I think he'll come around. But what do you think about, how about Elijah Hughes and Jalen Carey too? I'm not trying to take anything away from him, but Hughes has been a constant though. He's been a constant good shooter. And, you talk about talk about these players like Mark only going to get better throughout the year. Elijah Hughes is going to be, he's going to be a freaking superstar. He is.
Yeah. And I'm hoping he doesn't think about leaving this year because that's kind of, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
He hit three of his five three-pointers last game, so he's the most consistent three-point shooter, I think, on the team, and he was 7 for 11. Everyone else seems to, not be hitting him at that same consistent rate, and I think he's got some really good, finesse moves, and I've seen him get to the bucket a couple times, but he does have that nice stroke, and he complements the rest of the team well. Battle can drive well, O'Shea can play on the inside well, but you have that kick-out option that was kind of there last year, but not really. You had Battle and you had Frank, but he's a little more reliant with the three-point shot, maybe. So we'll see what happens. But I like him a lot. And Carey, he dropped 26 on UConn. I mean, he did have 8 turnovers or something like that. But he can clearly score the ball. I just don't think he's ready for the leadership position.
No, he's not. He's probably better in the 2 spot. I mean, even Tyus isn't ready for the leadership position.
No.
So it's not his thing.
Tyus wasn't. Yeah, exactly. It's not his thing. You have to have a special personality for that. And I'm kind of surprised Frank has it because you don't really see it on the floor.
But you could see the difference, though, right?
You can see the difference. And the thing that it comes down to coaching, I think, too, because you have to coach a leader. And I love Jim Boeheim, of course. I mean, legend. But it's getting to the point where it's like you see some of these other teams, they're huddling before things. The team itself is more like together. And I don't know if the team's necessarily bought into Jim Boeheim. I mean, I know he's a Hall of Fame coach, but he doesn't have the same impact that a Dino Babers has. I mean, everyone says they hated what Dan Hurley did for UConn and how amped he was. But did you see how that team bought in and how excited that team was? And that's why they beat us. So,
he's a douche.
Of course.
Don't make me play my song again.
I'm just saying, you can't do that forever, though, too. So.
Oh, I agree.
Right.
Boeheim did that, he'd have a heart attack. He can't do that stuff.
He would.
So he saves
it. Boogers falling out of his face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, Joe, anything to top this off here as we give Giovanni the floor to plug his Twitter and all that?
I thought that, you talked to Howard. It was rusty in the beginning. The first half was obviously it was close to where at halftime, and our defense came out and kind of forced them to just shoot threes. They lived and died by the three, and they didn't even hit them in the second half. And we came out and did what we had to do. And even though there was some rust, I think that the offense did look a lot more fluent and a little bit better and crisp with Howard out there. Again, I think it's just going to be the roles. Boeheim figuring out, you know, the allocating the minutes and who's going to play where and for how long and with who and, you know, the lineups and stuff like that. There's still a long way to go to see the final, you know, the end of this team, the final product. But again, we just got to get it right because we got some more tough games coming up.
Yeah, agreed. And to touch a little bit on that, like, it didn't even really get going for us till like the 13-minute mark in the second half. I mean, it was 35-32 at half, and usually we're in the 20s at half, so that was nice to see. But we didn't pull away for a while, so.
Yeah.
Tyus Battle, kind of, I hope he can live up to his preseason All-American expectation, but the 24 points was a good start.
Yeah. Well, Giovanni, you don't mind us calling you Gio, right? Because it's just easy.
No, one or the other, whatever you want to do.
Do people call you Gio?
Yeah, all my friends and stuff call me Gio.
All right, well, really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
Like I said, we wouldn't normally have, anybody, really. But we want to do it.
We don't just have everybody.
We want to do it once in a while with people who I think are like devoted fans, and I know you're a devoted fan, and I know what you do for your school, and all the things you're juggling as a young kid. Man, you got a bright future, and
that's not easy, man.
No, it ain't easy. No. Just keep your head on straight, and you're taking advice from a guy who basically pissed away his childhood. So take it from me, buddy. You're on the right track, okay? You keep doing you, all right? Tell everybody where they can find you and tell them about your YouTube show real quick.
All right. So I'm on Twitter at GeoHeater, as Sean said. I'm also on YouTube. If you just type in my name, Giovanni Heater, and you go ahead and click on the channel, you can like that, subscribe. I have a show that I do. It's called Orange Heat. I'm actually an episode behind. I've just been so swamped. But I just basically do this. I just go on and I just talk for about a half an hour about, you know, do a pregame, postgame preview, and I would have never known any of that stuff without watching your guys' show. So thank you and kudos to you.
That means a lot.
I appreciate that, man.
Of course, man. And then I'm also on Instagram at GeoHeater. I try and promote myself a little bit, but this is definitely a huge step. I try and get, you know, I have a bunch of friends and family that watch it, but I'd like to grow it to more of a Syracuse fan base. So I just want to thank you guys for having me on. This is a little bit of a dream come true, to be quite honest. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see what the future holds.
Awesome. Well, today,
good stuff.
Today for Joe and Gio, I'm Sean.
Can I do the piece with you, Joe? Can I do the piece?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh,
all right.
I'm Sean. We're out.
Peace. This has been the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. Be heard. Contact us on Facebook at Q's Militia Podcast and tweet at us using hashtag Q's Militia.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Searching for NBA playoff coverage? We've got you. The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, gives you an inside look into the world of sports. Hosted by former NBA sharpshooter and Duke legend J.J. Redick and sports writer Tommy Alter, The Old Man and the Three offers unprecedented access to the league. Tommy and J.J. discuss the NBA and interview some of the biggest names in the league, like Devin Booker and Luka Doncic. NBA Finals season is the perfect time to dive in, and you can listen to The Old Man and the Three wherever you get your podcasts. To hear episodes brought to you by BMW. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.